An old Baptist preacher once said to me, "Tom, what does a clock mean to a preacher?" "I don't know." And the preacher had answered, "Nothing." So Father asked that my homilies get a little shorter, and I am so grateful. I like to do as little as needed. However, marriage is something where you have to expend the maximum effort. It is 24/7. So let's go to that second reading, to that stumbling block so many of us have. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands. Let me be clear. Be sure to read that with what's above it. Christians, be subordinate to each other. Even the archbishop, the numero uno, is subordinate to my wife. He's subordinate to all deacons' wives. When you go into diaconate formation, the archbishop requires written permission from your wife. Before you ordain, the archbishop has to get written permission from your wife. And in the ordination ceremony, there's actually a feudal investiture ceremony. So you see how I always hold my hands like this. That's actually loyal to our archbishop. And he puts his hands on top of mine, and I pledge obedience to him and to his successors. And after that ceremony, if he asks me to do something, in theory, I only have two answers to his request. The first answer is yes. The second answer I have is, I'll have to talk to my wife about that. You can't convey rights that you don't have. So let's take a look at what rights that I gave up and the obligations that I took on. Spouses are supposed to love the church as Christ loved, love their spouse as Christ loved the church. Isn't that an incredible standard of performance? Oh, okay, till death do us part. I'm going to die anyway. No. It's more than that. It's a choice you make from the first day and every day after that, that you're willing to lay down your life, and you are laying down your life for your spouse. I gave away a lot of rights. We have a lot of obligations to each other. So I choose to be married every day. So marriage is not about each spouse gives 50% and you have 100%. I think you know, those of you that are married, that each spouse has to give 100%, so that when you add their loves together, it's a lot more than that. And marriage is how we understand God's love, a lot of us. So Paul talked beautifully about, you know, Christ and the church. That's one way the church talks about it. But it's also how we understand the love in the community of persons, which is God, because marriage is a community of persons. The love between the Father and the Son, it creates this, the Holy Spirit comes from that, the love of the Holy Spirit. And we know in marriage, the love between a husband and wife, it creates a whole bunch of little kids sometimes, as many of you have them in here and, you know, getting them ready for CCD. My wife and I, Diane, we took Father Lawrence out to dinner the other night. And he was putting together his homily. And he said, Tom, what I'm really thinking about and what I'd like to bounce off of you is to look at the other two readings through the eyes of marriage. Sounds really interesting. So we take that first reading, and here Joshua with the people of God, they're on the banks of Jordan. They've gone on a long journey. Their parents are behind them. They have the hopes and dreams of their parents with them. And Joshua says to him, "Are you ready? Do you choose to go across the Jordan and take the land? Take the land that God has given?" And they said, "Yes." And so what Father Lauren said, "Didn't you feel that way on the day that you got married?" And I said, "Yeah, that's exactly how I felt." And so I looked to that reading as my vocation, as is a lot of your vocations, as we should, to understand how God was operating in my life. Last week, he didn't say quite the same thing at all the masses. Father Lawrence talked about the great love that his mother had for their family in terms of this living bread. And he said how in this time of the year, how they were often hungry and there was no food. And his mother worked hard and went far and wide just to find something to make bread for them. And she would feed the three children, Father Lawrence, his brother, and his sister, and she'd eat nothing for herself. I remember when I was young, during hard times, when my mom would have me set the table for 9 people with nothing for her because she said she'd eat the leftovers. And sometimes there was no leftovers. So when you read that as a family and you read the words, this living bread from Jesus, and you look back and you understand how your parents were Christ for this church, for the parents, for this family, you realize the incredible sacrifice that was made, and the dimension of this living bread is just completely different. So read the Bible, and read it from where you are. St. Aug had a wonderful quote. He said, "What I am for you, the bishop, it terrorizes me. What I am with you, a Christian, comforts me." And so when we read Paul and we think about Paul, and we think of it in terms of a married couple, "What I need to be for you, it terrorizes me. I'm no Christ. I'm no great person. I am who I am, and I'm working on it." But that second part that St. Aug, which applies to a wedded couple, "What I am with you," that couple, that entity, that oneness, that comforts me. So if you were to ask me, and I think to ask many married couples that inspire us, "What do you have in this world?" I know I would say, "My wife, Diane." And though someday we will part because one of us will die and go on to heaven, I hope, for me, I understand through those eyes what Peter was saying. Where would I go? What would I do?